We're going to be in Acts chapter 14 today. And as you flip over there, as most of you know, at Christmas this year, we got a dog. And so we're living the puppy life and we're doing that thing. And when I was in high school, we had a golden retriever and his name was Prince. And I found myself being the one who would take him for a walk a lot of times. And there's one particular afternoon that Prince and I were out on a walk and we were cruising along down the sidewalk, and off in the distance, I saw someone laying in the grass beside their bicycle. And as I got closer, there were some things about it that didn't necessarily make sense and it looked a little odd. For one, the way that it was a kid, and the way his body was kind of contorted as he was laying in the grass was weird. Like, he wasn't just lounging, like he was laying like he had fallen off of his bike. He also was not moving. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's hurt, something's going on. And as we got closer, I mean, he was not moving at all. And I began to have the thoughts of, like, is he dead? Like, has something really bad happened? And I began thinking through, what do I do? How do I check his pulse? What do I do? Like, this was before cell phones. So it was like, who do I go, whose house do I use to go call? Like, all the things. So as Prince and I walk up on him, we're literally standing over the top of him, and I'm about to reach down and check for a pulse. He opens his eyes, he stands up, he gets on his bike, and he rides away. He didn't say a word to me. He didn't even look at me. He just, like, all in once, like, got up. I have no idea. I don't know if he was asleep. I don't know what was going on. And I stood there with Prince, and we were in bewilderment of what just happened. Like, the flood of emotions that I was feeling in that moment. Because I was nervous, and I was scared because I thought something terrible had happened. And then all of a sudden, like, he's gone. He just got up and he kept going, and was out of our picture. And so today, the title of today's message is "Keep Going," because we're going to look at a story and an episode in the life of Paul where it looked like he was dead, and in an instant, he gets up and he continues on and he keeps going. So today we're going to conclude our series of summer heat, which I hopefully is going to mean a break in the temperatures. I've had more than a handful of people say, is it hot because you're doing a series called so? Like, are you responsible? And I don't think so, but just in case, I think our next series will be called Cool Autumn Breeze. So I'm excited to see what that may happen. And we may start it tomorrow so that we can get rid of the temperature. But we've been talking about, what do we do when we find ourselves in the heat of the moment, when the pressure is built up, when it's a pressure-packed moment, when everybody's watching, when all the chips are down, when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, whatever that thing may be, what do we do? How do we operate? How do we continue walking in faithfulness to the Lord, even though everything around us is trying to get us to stop doing that? Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about prioritizing God's Word. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, that no matter what, I've got to prioritize His Word. No matter what, I continue to live out the principles of Scripture, no matter what the circumstances are around me. And then last week, Mr. Darrell was here, and he spent some time and helped us look at the importance of continuing to worship and to praise God no matter what. That no matter what circumstance I find myself in, God is no less deserving of my praise and worship, because as my circumstances change, He does not. And His deservingness and His worthiness never changes. And so one of the ways that we continue to walk in the midst of the heat of the moment is by worshiping God, praising Him. That never changes. And so today, as we conclude this series, we're going to look at we're going to highlight the need to keep going. When we're in the heat of the moment, how do we keep going? And so as we get ready to read a few verses here from Acts chapter 14, and as you flip over there, just to give you a little precursor of what's going on, this episode takes place in the midst of a missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, in their church, and they were there worshiping, and in a worship service, Holy Spirit prompted them that they need to be sent out and to go out on mission, specifically to try to reach Gentiles, folks who were not Jewish, to take the name of Jesus to a place where people had not heard the name of Jesus, to give the good news of the gospel to people and to regions of their world that had never heard the message before. And so they did that, and they had a lot of success. They go to another place named Antioch, Pisidia, and they spend some time there. They preach the gospel, and they have success. They see people come to know Jesus. Then they go on to a place called Iconium, and they preach the gospel, and people respond, and the kingdom expands. There are people who come to know Jesus. Then they make their way to a place called Lystra, and that's where we are today. And while they're there, they meet a guy who's crippled. Paul speaks to him, and he's healed. He's able to stand up, and he's able to walk, and the whole town goes crazy. Now, they were worshiping Greek pagan gods at the time. So immediately what they think is that Paul and Barnabas are the human manifestation of Hermes and of Zeus, of these Greek gods. They think that these Greek gods have now come into human form and they have done this thing. And so they begin to worship Paul and Barnabas as Hermes and as Zeus. And they're trying to offer sacrifices to them. And so Paul stops and they're like, no, that's not it. And he's like, you are following a false god. Let me tell you about the one true God. And so that's where we pick up the story. This happens in Lystra on the heels of this interaction where they got a chance to heal this guy. And then they're trying to figure out who to worship and what to do. And so in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 19, they're still in Lystra. It says, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul. They dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and he entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So as we look at this passage, our big idea today is this, that when we find ourselves in the heat of the moment, we must keep going in the mission of God. So to keep going is not just to literally just keep moving forward, but it's to participate and to fulfill our role within the mission of God. We see in this short passage, Paul experiences both good things and some really horrific bad things. And his response to both of those is to continue on, to keep going, to keep participating in the mission. Now for us, what does it mean to keep going? What am I referencing? What am I talking about? The idea of keep going is going to require perseverance. Perseverance is persistence despite difficulty. So even if I find myself in a situation and it's not turning out exactly how I thought it might, or it turns out to be a little more difficult than I thought it would be, I don't just quit, I keep going. Keep going requires endurance, the refusal to give in when things are unpleasant. In my mind's eye, when I signed up to serve in this capacity, I thought it would be like this. I thought it would require this much of me. Well, now that I'm in it, it requires way more. It's not near as much fun as I thought. These kids are annoying. I don't want to do this anymore. It's unpleasant, but I don't quit. I keep going. It requires diligence, careful, persistent effort. It requires intentionality, a daily decision in the same direction. Eugene Peterson talks about faithfulness being a long obedience in the same direction. That's the idea of keep going. We see this exemplified through the life of Paul. It's going to require persistence. I love this definition. Check this out. Persistence is the obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So even if it's difficult, even if people are against me, in an obstinate continuance, I keep going. I don't give up. I don't stop. I don't quit. I'm a little bit bullheaded. I'm a little bit stubborn. I keep leaning in. I keep going because that's what the mission requires. And so in our time today, we're going to spend some time looking at three kind of connection points between remembering the mission and how it affects our ability to keep going. The first connection point is this, that we keep going when we remember the mission. We see that in verses 20 and 21. It says, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, he entered the city, and on the next day he went with Barnabas to Derbe, where they continued to preach the gospel and made disciples in that city. So in the face of a terrible, horrific experience, Paul continues in the next step of the journey. I mean, just slow down and think for a minute. He had been stoned to the point that everyone around thought, yep, we can stop now, he's dead. And they pick up his body, they take him out to the edge of town, and they leave him there because they don't need it anymore, he's dead. That's what they thought happened. That's what he endured in this moment. So about the worst possible thing that could ever happen to you happens. When he comes to, he regains consciousness, he dusts himself off, says he goes back in the city for a day, and then he continues on in the journey to the next city that's about 60 miles away in Derbe. And it's important to realize that he wasn't running away, that he was continuing on in the journey to the next place. It was the mission that had led him to Lystra, and it was the mission that was moving him on to the next place. Because the mission doesn't stop because something bad happens. Paul understood this both from his personal experience, but also from the life of Jesus. That if hard things happen to Jesus, then hard things are going to happen to us. That a part of following Jesus means that we're just going to endure some hard circumstances along the way. Because there's opposition, both spiritual and physical. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about this in chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. He's writing a group of believers there that he wants to visit, but he's been unable to, so he writes a letter. Listen to what he says about the hard times and the role that it plays in our spiritual journey. He says, "We sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one may be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer afflictions, just as it has come to pass, and just as you now. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." You catch it? Did you hear it? Paul's saying, look, we told you beforehand that because we're followers of Jesus, there's going to be opposition. We're going to go through some things. He calls them afflictions. He calls them trials. And he said, we were so concerned that you now, as new believers, would see what we're going through and think, ooh, I don't want to go through that. So I'm just going to go back. I'm going to quit following Jesus, because if that's what it's going to be, then I may go back. I may choose a different path. He said, we were so concerned that that may happen that we sent Timothy to check on you, to encourage you, to exhort you. Keep going because it's worth it. Don't back off. Don't quit. Keep going. Last week, Daryl talked about all the things that Paul had been through, and yet he's still able to praise God. He's still able to worship God. Let's look at that verse again, 2 Corinthians 11:25. Paul's recounting some of the things, some of the trials that he's been through. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Most people believe that he's referencing what happened that we read about today in Lystra. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. See a theme here? Each and every place he goes, there's danger. And does that keep him from going, moving forward? No. He continues to move on. Why? Because the mission moves forward in the midst of obstacles. The reality of living with Christ is that living on mission, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. This summer, we had the college students that were here, those Gen Senders that gave 6 weeks of their summer to invest in the city of Cincinnati, to invest in Bridge City Church. And if we were to go back and kind of look at each week by week, in my opinion, we could bring Kenton up here and he may be able to speak to this a little bit more. But if we were to go back in time to the end of week 2 for the Gen Sin team, that was rock bottom for them as it pertained to living on mission. And that was the back end of doing Vacation Bible School, and there was all these things going on. And what I think had happened in that moment was they had realized that what they hoped was going to happen and what they were experiencing in the moment were a little bit different. Would that be fair to say? That what they had been praying for and what they were encountering in that moment was different. That it was hard work to live on mission. That it's not all just fun. That there's rejection. That there's discouragement. That there's all these things that maybe you wouldn't necessarily want to sign up for when you were signing up to live on mission. And so in that moment, to their credit, they rallied and decided that's not it. That's not going to be the end of our summer. We're going to keep going. But the reality of living on mission is that sometimes it's hard. We get rejected. We don't get to see the fruit right away. There are plenty of obstacles that can make us and cause us to stop going. But the mission moves forward in the midst of obstacles. And in fact, God's mission moves forward through the obstacles. Obstacles are a setup for God to do a work that only God can do. He then moves in a way that only He can move in a situation that only He could overcome, and everybody who's watching going, whoa, what did He just do? How did He do that? How did this happen? And then they begin to inquire of you, why did this happen? What's going on? And we get a chance to explain as best we can and tell what we know about a God who is faithful and who can overcome any circumstance. But the mission of God moves forward in the midst of obstacles. In Acts chapter 8, this is before the Apostle Paul becomes the Apostle Paul, before he has a conversion experience with God. His name is Saul at this time. And in Acts chapter 8, it says that Saul is ravaging the church. He's a persecutor of Christians. And he is destroying and seeking to undermine the early church. He's having them arrested. He's having them put in jail. Some of them are being put to death. And so the byproduct of this ravaging that's happening in Jerusalem is that those early believers get scattered all throughout the region. They had to leave. They had to flee. They had to go somewhere that was safer. And so they are scattered out across the region. And what does God do? He works in the midst of the obstacle. Here's persecution is the obstacle. He works in the midst of it, and all the people who get scattered end up being missionaries, who then now live in a new place, and they begin to tell the people who live in their new city about the gospel. They begin to tell them about Jesus, and the gospel moves forward. Why? Because they continue to live on mission in the midst of obstacles. Philip was one of those guys. He finds himself in Samaria. Listen to what it says about the work that God was doing through Philip in Samaria in Acts chapter 8, verse 6. It says, great crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of the many who had them. Many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, so there was much joy in that city. Major obstacle, persecution. People are dying. Christians have to scatter, have to flee into different places. They find themselves in new cities. God works through them to reach more people. And for Philip, specifically in Samaria, the city is filled with joy because of the work that God is doing, setting people free, delivering them, and giving them new life in Him. When we find ourselves in the heat of the moment, we keep going by remembering the mission of God. A second connection point is that we keep going when we remember the mission is bigger than ourselves. Verse 21 says, they preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples there in Derbe. They returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. So what he's saying is they went and they visited four different places on this journey. When they got to the fourth one, they turned around and they went back and visited each one that they had been at previously. We keep going when we remember that the mission is bigger than ourselves. Why is it bigger than ourselves? Because it's God's mission. It belongs to Him. And He is bigger than we are. We are a member of the team. We are a part of the body. He is the head. He is the leader. He's the one who pushes the mission forward. And we just follow in obedience and seek to be effective in the role that He's given us to play. But many times the problems that we face pop up when we try to be in charge of the team. We want to be the general manager of the team. We want to be the one calling the shots, doing the things, being the leader, instead of just being in my role. And so I keep going in the mission when I remember that it's not Jonathan's mission. It's not even Bridge City's mission. It's God's mission. And we've been invited to participate in it. an invitation to accept salvation. It includes the expectation that you will orient yourself according to what God says is important. And when asked about it, Jesus boiled it down to two things. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as what? Yourself. So it's following Jesus is about loving God and loving other people. And the expectation is that if I'm going to give my life to Jesus, then I'm going to be about those two things. And even all the way back in Matthew chapter 4, if we were to look at the way that Jesus invited those first disciples, he's on the Sea of Galilee walking along the shore, and he comes across a pair of brothers, Peter and Andrew, who are fishers of fish. That's the family business. That's their profession. They've done that their entire lives. They're planning to do that for the rest of their lives. Jesus walks up and in two words says, follow me. And then he speaks about the transaction or the transition that's going to happen. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of what? Men. I'm going to change what you're about. I'm going to change your orientation about your whole life. Right now, you're trying to catch fish. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. You pursue fish for a living. I'm going to show you how to pursue people for the kingdom. If you follow me, what you're going to be about is going to be different for the rest of your life. You're going to live on mission with me. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to show you how to do it. And I'm going to send you out and it's going to change the world. The mission of God, it's His. We thankfully get to be a part of it. And we will keep going when we realize that it's His and it's not mine. That I need to keep going because it's about more than just me. The mission of God is for the benefit of others. Here we see Paul daily living on mission for God because of the impact that it will have in the lives of others. Here's a guy who has a living, real encounter with Almighty God. And it changed his life in an instant. And from there on, for the rest of his life, he lives a certain way because of the interaction that he had with a living God. And he wants that for other people. He wants that for others. He wants them to be changed in the way that he has been changed. So he lives on mission because it's for the benefit of others. And we see that happen in this passage, in this journey. On the outward part of the journey, when he's going from one city to the next, and he's introducing the gospel, he's there for the benefit of the people who've never heard the gospel, who've never heard the name Jesus, who've never had an opportunity to place their faith and trust in him. But then he gets to the end of the route, and he begins the homeward journey, and he goes back, and now he's spending time with the folks who had given their lives to Jesus. And he's continuing to invest in them. He's continuing to strengthen them and remind them that they've got to keep going in the midst of trouble. Why? Because he cares about the benefit that it brings to the people, both folks who do not yet know Christ and for the people who are already in Christ. Now, how does that apply for us here at Bridge City Church? Our mission mandate is to bridge the gap between where people are and who God designed them to be. My favorite part about that mission mandate and why we call it a mission mandate is because it needs to be the driving force behind everything that we do. So every event that we do, every time that we gather and we put together a worship service, when we do students tonight, everything we do flows out of this idea that we want to bridge the gap between where someone currently is and who God designed them to be. And what I love about that is that it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. If it's before you've met Christ, great. We're going to come alongside of you. We're going to invest in you. We're going to love on you. We're going to share the good news of the gospel with you, hoping and praying that you're going to give your life to Him. And then when you do, we're going to continue to walk with you, helping you grow and mature in your faith. If the first time that we encounter you, you already have a relationship with Jesus, great. We want to bridge the gap from where you are in this very moment to where God designed you to be, where He wants you to go, how He wants you to grow. The process is called sanctification. It's the process of becoming more like Jesus. It's only a work that He can do, but He's not going to force Himself on you. He's going to allow you. You create space for Him, and then He will do that work. It's a process that begins when I give my life to Him at salvation. It's a process that is completed when I meet Him face to face, whether because He's come back or because I've passed on from this world. The goal is sanctification. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the very first part of verse 3, Paul says that to the Thessalonians. He said, for the will of God is your sanctification. So we make the mission about others. We make the mission about God because it's His mission. We must guard making it about ourselves, because when we make it about ourselves, we will take a break from the mission. Now, what we don't see in the story of Paul is that he takes a break. And he probably could have, and maybe and or should have. If you have been stoned to the point that people think you are dead, if you were to then rise up and take a couple days off, I don't think anybody would get onto you for that. People would be like, yeah, you probably should. We thought you were dead. Our bad. We shouldn't have left you out there. Take a few days, get yourself cleaned up, rest and recuperate. Like, nobody would have judged him for that. If he had retired after being stoned to the point that everybody thought he was dead, if he had never gone on another missionary journey the rest of his life, most people would have been like, makes sense to me. If they're going to kill you for it, then yeah, be done. Let it down. Like, lay down the mission. But that's not what we see here from Paul. He continues on. He keeps going because it wasn't about him. When we make it about us, we have a tendency to take breaks, both when good things happen and when bad things happen. When we have some success in the mission, we feel really good. We're like, you know what? I'm going to lay down the mission. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do some things that I want to do for a little while. I'm going to set the mission aside because I've had a good 2 weeks of the month. So the last 2 weeks, I'm going to make it about me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what is fun for me. Or what if when things don't go well, it's really hard, it's bad, and you're like, you know what? I need a break. So I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to set the mission down. I'll come back to it later. No, the mission is always moving. So we are to always be moving with the mission. Now, what I'm not talking about is rest. Rest is a vital part of walking with Jesus. He built in the Sabbath. His invitation in Matthew 11 was, come follow me and I will give you rest. So rest is needed. Rest is found in Christ alone, but rest is found within the context of the mission. I don't lay aside the mission to find rest. I find rest as I walk in the mission with the Father. It's God's desire to fulfill His mission to reach the lost and the dying with His love and salvation. And He desires to do it through us. That's why, regardless of circumstances, we keep going. Now, in the fall semester this year, one of the things we're going to do, both in our small group settings, in men's groups and in women's groups, we're going to go through a study called Leverage Your Life. Because that is the call of each and every one of us, that we need to utilize the people in our circumstances. We need to utilize the resources that God has given us. We need to utilize the talents and the giftings that God has given us to live on mission. And so we're going to talk about that. How does God want you to live on mission in your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your community, on the ball teams that you belong to, in the co-ops that you participate in the places that you work? Because when we find ourselves in the heat of the moment, we continue living on mission because people are worth it. So we keep going when we remember that the mission, it's bigger than ourselves. And then our third and final connection point is that we keep going when we remember the mission is the calling. We see that in verses 22 and 23. So they get to the end of the journey in Derbe. From that point, it would have been really easy for Paul and Barnabas to then go to Paul's hometown, take a little break, and then hop a boat and sail back to Antioch. It would have been faster. It would have been an easier journey. But that's not what they do. They get to the end of the line, they turn around, and they go and they revisit the previous places they had stopped. Why? Because the mission did not stop. The mission was now entering its second phase. Outbound, it was all about evangelism, sharing the gospel. Inward bound, homebound, it was about the gospel and evangelizing, but it was also about building up those who had placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And so it says that they strengthened those believers, that they informed them and helped them realize, look, hard times are going to be a part of this, so be strengthened and keep going. And then it says that they appointed elders in those local churches to help lead and guide those bodies of believers in those places. Why? Why an emphasis on the church? Because Paul and Barnabas understood that the local church is God's plan to reach the world. And so they were establishing and putting it in place so that it could survive and so that it could thrive, so that it could be effective there in that local context. But what we see in these few verses is Paul keeps going, whether it was really good in a successful moment or whether it was one of the worst moments of his entire life. He keeps going. Why does he keep going? Because it is God who had called him. It was God alone who had called him. If we were to go back and look at Acts chapter 9 and that encounter that he has with the living God, it changed his life forever. And it was God who said, I'm sending you on mission. This is what we're going to be about for the rest of your life. After that encounter, the first thing God tells him is that he needs to go to a specific place and wait for a man to come and talk to him. So then God talks to the man. His name was Ananias. And he said, you need to go to this location, to this address, and talk to a guy named Saul. And this is what I want you to tell him. Ananias is like, heck no, he's a persecutor. He'll probably kill me. I know what he's about. And he's like, nope, trust me. He's changed. I've changed him. I've called him into something different. Listen to the way that God describes Paul to Ananias. He says, he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I've changed him. I've redeemed him. I've transformed him. I've got a new call on his life. I need you to go and deliver it. What was the call? To be an instrument of mine to carry the name before the Gentiles. What do we see Paul doing in this story? He's on a missionary journey to Antioch, to Iconium, to Lystra, and to Derbe. To do what? To carry the name of Jesus to the Gentiles. He is walking out his calling. He's living on mission because it was God himself who had called him to do that. God is calling all who are lost to repent and to place their faith in Jesus alone for salvation. At salvation, if you accept, if you place your faith and trust in him, he calls you sons and daughters. At salvation, if you accept, he calls you into his mission. It's a general calling and it's a specific calling. The general calling means that it's for all of us, that he wants everybody to be saved, that he wants everybody to be sanctified, to begin to imitate the character of Jesus, that the love and the character of Jesus would flow through our lives to that would make an impact. But there's also a specific calling that we talked about just a moment ago, that he wants to use your vocation. He wants to use the resources that he's blessed you with. He wants you to use the giftings and the talents that he's placed within you to live on mission. So we need to remember that living on mission is a calling for every one of us who would say, I have a relationship with Jesus. If I call myself a Christian, if there's been a moment where I place my faith in Christ, then I am called to live on mission. That means when I go to homeschool co-op, I need to live on mission. That means when I play travel baseball, I need to live on mission. That means when I go to work, and even if I'm mostly by myself at work, I got to find a way to live on mission. That wherever I go, whatever I do, I live on mission. And the call is not just for the pastor, but it's for each and every one of us. You realize there are some places that I might be able to get into a little easier than you because I'm a pastor. And almost all of them that I think about aren't really good places. So like a hospital. There's places in a hospital that I could get into probably a little quicker if I say I'm a pastor than you could if you just showed up and tried to make a visit. Or like a prison. I can get into a prison pretty quick because I'm a pastor and they'll let me in. The only good one I could really come up with was the Reds game. I can go to a Reds game for free on Monday to Thursdays because I'm a pastor. So that was a good one. But flip it around. There are a ton of places that you can go, that you can get into easier than I can because you're not a pastor. I'll give you an example here in Anderson. Schools. As a parent of a student, you can get into that school way quicker in a way more meaningful way than I can if I just call up the principal and say, hey, we'd like to serve you. Can we help you? Most of the time, I don't get a call back. But I guarantee you, as a parent of a student who attends that school, if you call up and say, I'm interested in this. I'm concerned about this. We want to improve this. They're going to listen to that phone call a whole lot more than they're going to listen to me, right? And so there are all these places that God has put you that because of who you are and the relationships that you have, He wants to utilize it to live on mission. And so it's not just my job. It's our job. He's called each and every one of us because a life in Christ is to be a life on mission. So as we draw to a close today, there's a book. A guy named Ryan Holiday wrote a book called The Obstacle is the Way. Now he bases it on, he's big into Stoicism and philosophy of the Greeks and these kind of things. But he suggests that inside every obstacle is an opportunity to improve your condition. No matter what's going on, that if you will choose to look at it the right way, you can learn and grow from it, no matter how bad, no matter how painful it may be. And he makes a big deal about the way that you look at it, that the first step in dealing with the problem is to look at it the right way. And what he encourages you to do is to find the positive in it, find the lesson, find the way that you can improve. Now, I don't agree with everything that his idea with it, but I do think that it applies to following Jesus and to keep going in this way, that no matter what circumstance you face, no matter what heat of the moment you're in right now, God is in it. He's there. And He's the positive in that situation. So in the same way that Ryan Holiday would say, look for the positive in that thing, that's what we look for in every situation that we go through. Where's God? What's He want me to do? I know He's here, therefore something good can come of this. Yes, it's an obstacle that He can work in it. And He may just be using it as a setup to do a work that only He could do. So instead of trying to run away from all the obstacles, what if we run to them going, God's going to do something only God can do. And I can't wait to see what it is. We are called to keep going because God keeps going. He never stops. He never sleeps. He never rests. He never steps off the throne. He's always in charge. He works in all things. He wastes nothing. So if He keeps going, then for me to keep pace and to walk with Him, I must keep going. We live on mission no matter the circumstance because God is present. He's ready to work. So may it be said of us as a church that we keep going. May it be said of you individually, though no matter the heat of the moment, they keep going. No matter what they're going through, they keep looking at God. They keep expecting Him to work. They keep prioritizing His Word. They own their actions. They're attentive to what God may have for them. And they keep living on mission for the honor and the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together.